Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I have been on the radio in New Orleans for about, well, close to 5 years. And prior to that, a number of years before that, I was on for about 2.5 years. And I was also on a station in Baton Rouge a long time ago in the 80s. And happy to serve God. That's what it comes down to. Happy to be born again. Every time I get in the fellowship meeting, I don't know what to say. You know, they stick a mic in my face and I don't know what to say. But I can tell you that the Lord has ministered to me. I'm an evangelist. I've been to Haiti. I've been to Honduras. I've been to Mexico. I even went to the Bahamas to preach. I went actually to do consulting work, computer consulting work. And the first thing I did, you know, that I got there on the Sunday and settled into the hotel the next day. And they sent me down at the office and said, okay, you know, you get 2 weeks to do your work. The first thing I did was I got a phone book and found a Haitian church. There's a number of Haitians here in the United States and wherever they can go. But the closest little island, I suppose, is the Bahamas, and there's like 300,000 Haitians there. So I found me a Haitian church and befriended the pastor and preached a couple of meetings there. So I'm an evangelist. I work on the radio. I do missions work. But mostly, I'm glad to be a Christian. And every time I get one of these fellowship meetings, my mind goes blank and all I can think of was, I'm happy to be saved. Happy to be born again.
Amen.
So if you have your Bibles, I suppose, let's get down to business. And by way of explanation, I preached on a few things, preached on the Holy Spirit a little bit at the Bishop's Church. And on the radio, and everything that I record, wherever I happen to be, if it's of good enough quality, then I put that on the radio. I've got a little field recorder, I suppose. And if it comes out, you guys are going to be on the radio down in New Orleans. But I felt, I preached this and I preached that, and I felt that the Lord wanted me to preach on deliverance. And I could preach, I guess, any number of passages and find God's deliverance. But I felt in my heart that He wanted me to go to 2 Kings and begin preaching there. So 2 Kings chapter 5. And you've heard this story. It talks about Naaman the leper. And we all know that Naaman the leper went down 6 times in the Jordan. And even 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there was no change. But as the song says, that he went down into the Jordan 7 times and he came up shouting. I'm not going to preach on that. Everybody knows the story, but I won't get there. I'm going to do just the first 6 verses. And it says, "Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, young girl. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the little maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Israel said, go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have sent therewith Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. We have Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, John's Gospel. You can even, if you look at it right, talk about Israel's Gospel. But I'd like to preach tonight on Little Maid's Gospel. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. We're looking for deliverance. We're looking for the message of deliverance. We believe that Jesus, He's the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. But we also know throughout the Gospels that if there was someone sick, Jesus healed them without fail. Someone blind, they went away seeing. Someone possessed with devils, they were set free. He is Jesus. Jesus is the deliverer. And Lord, we believe it. And we, as the man said, sir, we would see Jesus. And in that marvelous name, we pray. Amen. Normally, when I take a text, I can't help myself. I teach mainly, mostly. I would like to preach more, but I can't help myself. I normally end up teaching instead. The bishop likes my preaching, but he acknowledges that we have different styles. Sometimes I'm able to break out of that mold and preach, but still, it's the message. It's not the style, it's the message. And I thank God for the message. But God gave deliverance or help to Syria, the enemy of Israel, the nation just to the north, maybe a little bit to the northeast, I guess. If you look in the map in the back of your Bible, or even in a world atlas today, you'll find the nations that we find in the Bible. 2,000, 3,000 years ago, these different countries were spoken of. Just to the north you have Lebanon, then you have Syria. You don't necessarily see Jordan mentioned, except the river. But the land of Jordan, there were a number of different nations that, in the Bible, it says dwelt there. Moab and Edom and what have you. You have the Persians, although recently they called their name not Persia, but Iran. Obviously, you have to the south, you have Egypt. You find them in your Bible maps, your ancient maps, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, but you find these nations in your atlas. Maybe you might have it at home or maybe at the library, and you find these nations mentioned in the news. So we understand where Syria is. We also understand that every one of these countries, at one time or mostly all of the time, they were enemies of God. But reading the text, it seems strange. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And it says in verse 2, the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. Now it wasn't just one little maid, it was probably dozens. Children stolen, cattle stolen, crops stolen. That's what happens during war. And Israel, the people of God, no question. But God's enemies, or Israel's enemies, let's be exact, were making raids against the people of God, stealing this, taking that. And it says in verse 2 that they took a little maid, a little teenage girl. Don't know exactly how old, but by 15, 16, she's getting to be an old maid, and, you know, they marry young back then. 12, 15, I don't know. I'm guessing. An unmarried young girl. Stole her from her family. Stole her from everything that she knew. Her entire life was disrupted. She knew that she'd never see her family again. Her friends, she'd never see them again. She was stolen and made to be a slave in Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. In his household, Naaman's wife was her captor, or minder, or what have you. Think about that. God gave deliverance or help to Israel's enemies by blessing Naaman, blessing him to rob and steal from Israel. That doesn't make any sense, but that's what the Bible says. But I want to put to you that God intended for Israel to be a light to the nations. I don't know about you, but when I read the Old Testament, I see Jesus Christ on practically every page. I do a lot of teaching on typology. A type, the Greek typos, where we get our word type from, is something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. For instance, Moses, a great type of Christ. He was the great deliverer. We know that Jesus delivered us from our sins. We understand that Passover, the Passover lamb. We know that Jesus was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. But Israel was intended to be a light to the Gentiles. We know Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that we're to be witnesses unto them. Witnesses unto me, he said, but the focus is them, to the uttermost parts of the earth. The PCG sends out missionaries all over the world because we want to do as Paul said, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. We need to be about the Father's business. It's not us four and no more.
Right.
It's the one across the street, across town, across the state, or across the world. God loves the sinner. And God especially loves the Gentiles. The pagans. God loves them. So even though Naaman did something that we would say was wrong, God was trying to reach Naaman and blessed him in battle. But this little maid, 15 years old, however old she was, stolen from her family. If this was in America, it'd be all over the news. It'd be all in the courts. The various government agencies would be all into this. But back then, that didn't exist. She was stolen, and that was that. She had every right to hate Naaman, to despise Naaman. When she was cooking or scrubbing or whatever, she had every right to spit in Naaman's food. She had every right to hate that man. I attempted to join the Navy, and during delayed entry, I knew I was going to go to boot camp or whatever they call it in the Navy, basic training or something, and it's been a long time and I've forgotten. So I did squats and ran 3 miles and all, you know, lifted weights and everything, and I blew my knee out. So I was disqualified. But I know a little bit I guess from watching movies and reading books, I know that it is the soldier's duty when captured to escape, if at all possible. Even if he knows he's going to fail, it's his duty to try to escape. We can see all the different movies, perhaps in World War II, where they discussed the philosophy of should we try to escape or should we just try to get along, what have you. Sabotage. They were supposed to do what they could to hurt the enemy, to stall the enemy, to destroy the enemy's plans, to act as a spy, etc. The soldier has all of these duties. If she could have, maybe she might have stabbed Naaman's wife or something. She wasn't a soldier, but if we don't want to go that far, we can at least say that she had every right to hate Naaman's guts. Leprosy, I hope he dies. I hope another part falls off. God, do something to him. Right? Every right. Somebody steals your kids or what have you, you wouldn't be happy and they wouldn't be happy. I mean, that's just how things are. But that is not what the text says. Verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Think of that. Makes me cry if I think too long, really. She had every right. But instead she forgave. Nobody asked her to. Nobody expected her to. But she forgave. And as she scrubbed those pots, she sang to the Lord. And God blessed her. Maybe that was her wilderness experience. When David, the one that wrote half the book of Psalms at least, was out following the sheep, as they said, they were making fun of him. Following the sheep, he's supposed to lead them. He sang praises to God and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote all of those songs. And during the periods of his life, you can see that whatever he was experiencing at the time, if he was being chased or this or that, he wrote psalms talking about his troubles. They're meant to sing, but they're also prayer and prophecy and a number of different things. But we see the heart of David. Someone said that if you read the Gospels, you see the acts of Jesus Christ. But if you read the Psalms, you see the thoughts and feelings and emotions of the Lord. So many of them are messianic in nature. They tell of the coming of the Lord, the first one and the second, I might add. So she's scrubbing pots and saying, Lord, another finger fell off. God help him. God help him. Not, I hope he dies. But Lord, help that man. He stole me and I'm never going to see my sister again. But Lord, help him. The psychologist scratches his head and says, no, something's wrong here. Well, praise God, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I'm a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Maybe an aroma of death to those that are in the world, but God sees my heart and likes me to see it, and like what that little maid had in her heart. Out of the depths of her heart, she cried out to God for her captor's healing. That was great faith. And great compassion and great forgiveness. Joseph, we remember him. His brothers threw him in a well and left him for dead. He had two sons, forgive and forget. Would to God, my Lord were with the prophet, for he would recover him of his leprosy. The Syrian king, don't remember his name, he believed. And you can't buy salvation. Salvation's a free gift. But he acted in faith, maybe in ignorance, but in faith, paying for the favor of God, knowing that God's going to heal my servant. God's going to heal Naaman. This pagan king believed and trusted in God more than most Christians today, more than most churches. Today we don't believe that God heals the sick. Oh, maybe in some of the churches we do. Thank God here. But down the road and down the other road and around the corner, you know that they don't believe. Now, I'm not here to say anything about them, but just to make the observation that this pagan king, the one that didn't believe in God, he said, "But I believe." So Naaman believed the gospel that he heard. The king heard the gospel that was preached and believed. Normally when I preach this chapter, I take my shotgun and blow holes in psychology. We can take a look at this little maid, the things that she suffered, maybe not the exact thing that she suffered, but how many people in this parish or the county just up the road suffer through abuse or who knows what. Or not just little maids, but wives or who knows. People suffer all the time. All you have to do is open the newspaper. You know that things are bad. Newspaper. Well, we understand that the economy is going down the tubes. People are suffering. Hello, friend. This is Evangelist Joey Kelly. I want to thank you for listening to the program. Please understand that it blesses me to know that the program is being listened to and appreciated. The sermon that you just heard, I preached a few months ago in North Louisiana in a little town called Spring Hill. Probably you've never heard of it. It's near Shreveport and about 2 miles from the Arkansas state line. The audio wasn't that great that night. I apologize. We couldn't get the sound right, and actually the sound man, his chair, needed to be oiled. Every time he moved, it squeaked. But I believe that as you listened, you sensed the presence of God. And for His presence, I'm so very thankful. But I have an important announcement. Many of you know, if you've listened for some time, you know that a couple of years ago I tried to start an evangelistic outreach of this radio program on Sunday night. We found a place in Harvey, right by the Harvey Tunnel. A church had opened its doors to us and we were able to meet for a few months. But that space became unavailable and I was forced to cancel the meetings. But the vision that I believe God placed in me never left. And for a year and a half now, I've asked God to give us another place to hold meetings. And I'm here to report that He's done that. Starting January the 8th, 2012, I'll be holding services every Sunday night right here in Metairie, in fact, 3 blocks from my apartment. It's on Metairie Road, right at the corner of Cotifer, in fact, cat a corner from the Shell station, and I'll be giving directions later on. But the pastor of Old Metairie Protestant Church, Jack Boudreau, a friend of mine, offered to let us use his fellowship hall or one of the meeting rooms in the back. And of course, I'm very thankful to him and his congregation for letting us use their facilities. If your church, wherever you happen to attend on Sunday morning, doesn't meet on Sunday night, then I want to extend an invitation to you to come out
to Old Paths Tabernacle. That's the name of the work that I started 2 years ago, and that's the name we'll continue to use. You've heard me teach, you've heard me preach, perhaps you've even heard a little bit of my singing at the end of some of the programs. And as I said a bit ago, there are many of you that listen to this program every week, and it blesses you, and I'm, again, very thankful to the Lord for that. But as I said, if your church doesn't have Sunday night service, then please consider attending Old Paths Tabernacle. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.